Tell me about the story of Sphero. How did it get started? CTO right now. So that means you kind of know how it works.
Yeah. So basically, I built robots since I was a kid, like 12
really?
Years old.
Like what? Like, tell me. By the way, this was only 10 years ago, practically.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, it was a little while
Ian
ago.
Was telling me he watched the Screensavers when he was a young
I did.
Person.
Yeah, yeah, we kind of grew up in the middle of nowhere. We didn't have, we didn't have TV, so my grandmother lived like an hour away, and that's where we go to like get groceries and stuff like that. My dad would record them on, VHS tapes. Like,
bring them home.
Yeah, like every week.
Where did you live?
I grew up in like sort of northern New Mexico.
Uh-huh. In the hills or kind
of? It's kind of right along like the Front Range. So, one way it's just flat.
Beautiful.
And the other way it's mountains.
And your parents moved there to get you away from the internet?
No, we actually had like fairly good internet.
Oh, okay.
Just like the cooperative in that area had actually put in DSL, and it wasn't very fast, but we did have internet like pretty early, yeah.
But no TV.
No.
Was it a good place to grow up?
There wasn't like anything to do, so I just like sat around and like built robots all day and sat on the internet.
Thank your parents for boring you to tears, so you had to do something. Yeah. How did you? So this is what, late 90s, early mid 90s?
Yeah. Yep.
So what robots were out there? I mean, what did you do? Did you get kits?
Yeah, so ever since I can remember, I remember I was probably 4 or 5 years old. I had this like cardboard box of parts. Like, I'd taken apart broken cameras and cassette players
So this is in your blood.
Yeah, I couldn't like do anything with them. And then I actually started homeschooling. And then I think when I was about 11... my dad's a classical guitarist, and he wanted to get into digital music recording. And we went to, the computer club, and it was, bulletin board systems and, all that kind of stuff back then. He ended up meeting this guy that taught electronics at a tech school, and they worked out a trade, so he would teach this guy guitar lessons in exchange for him teaching me about electronics. So
fantastic.
Learned about, resistors and capacitors and stuff like that. A few months in, he showed me this flyer for this Beam Robotics games. So it's sort of this analog-based robotics developed by this guy, Mark Tilden, that used to work at Los Alamos National Labs.
Yeah.
We decided to check it out the first day, and it turned out they had a workshop as part of the competition, and I ended up building my first robot and went, every day of the event and, ended up building, three different robots, and I was just, totally hooked after that.
That is so cool. Yeah, Tilden's kind of a legend in this whole thing. Early robotics guy.
Yep. Still good friends.
And you competed in the games? Did you play?
I don't know if I competed that year, but I went on future years. Like they had one in India in 1995, I think. No, 1998 that I had the chance to go to and competed in.
His early robots, these early robots like this bug, remind me a little bit of the Boston Dynamics walking robots, the dogs, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's a really cool technology.
Yeah, yeah. But these are analog.
Yep. Yeah, they're not.
It's all actuators.
Yeah, it's not programmable. So you get a lot of interesting responses. sort of emergent behavior comes out of these
things.
Yeah,
it's kind of a little creepy, too, sometimes, right?
Yep.
Because they seem almost alive.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah, they remind me of the Brevwalker software where it would start very ungainly but learn to walk over a long period of time. I used to run that as a screensaver for my kids, and they would watch it. They loved it because they'd love to see how ungainly it was, and it would slowly was learning.
Yep, they really do.
Yeah. So did you that's cool. So did you learn music, too? I mean, did your dad make you play guitar, too? Or?
I think he wanted me to. But, I was actually talking about this last night with somebody. Just, I'm appreciating it now, but, he practiced probably 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
And when you hear, the same five seconds of the song over and over, you just, you want, nothing to do with that.
I know how it is. My dad's a geologist. I couldn't stand the sight of a hand lens and a pick for years. I think there's a real reason I ask is there's often I think a connection between musicians and computer scientists. It's the same part of the brain, I think. Mm-hmm. The mathematical mind, it turns out, is very similar to the musical mind.
Yeah.
So you inherited that.
Yeah, probably yeah. more on like the art side. Like
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that side of it.
Yeah. Did you go to school in robotics?
Yeah, I went on to study electrical engineering, computer mm-hmm. science.
Where'd you go?
So I went 3.5 years at New Mexico Tech, mm-hmm. and then kind of backpacked around Mexico for a semester, nice. And then transferred to Colorado State, and then I dropped out to kind of learn about business. And
interesting.
Still.
Did you think that you were going to do a robotics business?
Not really. So I did web design for 4 years, and I worked part time at a robotics company to kind of keep my engineering uh-huh. fresh. And especially doing all the web design stuff, I had a lot of working with clients and working in that industry. I had a lot of more internet company ideas.
It's good you got those skills too, though. That's really instead of just in the labs yep. tinkering.
Yeah.
Tell me about software versus hardware. It seems like sometimes there's a wall between the two, but you combine both.
Yeah, we do combine both.
Software is pretty important, I think, in these things.
Yeah, it's extremely important. Yeah. I mean, when you look at our products, obviously the hardware part is extremely important. It's important for the experience to take advantage of having this hardware piece
yeah.
and the software piece. But really, like, these things are 95% software, both the software that's running in the robot itself and the software that's interacting with it on the phone side. And we're able to change the experience, like BB-8, your experience with our new BB-8 robot today might be completely different than the experience you'll have with that exact same robot that you bought today
right.
a year from now.
Right.
Because we can evolve the experience on the software side.
I think I first saw you at, seems like CES, and then immediately after at Macworld.
Mm-hmm.
You had an arena set up, and you had the Spheros, and they were playing different games and so forth. But before this was Sphero, it was Orbotics.
Yep.
You and your partner Adam Wilson started this together. Tell me how that got started.
So sort of like late 2009, I was working at this robotics company, and we were selling robots. We're doing R&D. We're selling them mostly to like universities and research labs and places like that. And
what kind of robots?
So we had little humanoid robots, mm-hmm. about maybe a foot, foot and a half tall. We had a lot of robots that had a bunch of sensors that were people were studying swarm behaviors. So they
Isn't
buy
that
hundreds
interesting.
Of these things.
Yeah, because they have to be aware of the other robot and they act in concert, but yep. also individually. That's a fascinating subject.
Yeah.
Extremely. Then is there a lot of AI in swarming?
Yep. Yeah, for sure.
Because they have to be autonomous. A human can't do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of them are the robots have intelligence. Some of them they put cameras on the ceiling facing down, so they
know they're where they
so
are in
one
space.
Sort yeah. of master brain controlling right. these robots. But what I saw with these things that we were selling was we were selling these microcontrollers and touch screens and stuff that you put on these robots, and they were just super expensive and they weren't very good. And I was playing with my I think original iPhone. Back then, and
this is a computer,
right?
This has accelerometers. This has a camera.
Yeah, and GPS, and like
GPS.
The screen was amazing. And,
yeah,
and I was like, well, they were just, smartphones were just starting to sort of take off, and I was like, they're still kind of expensive. I figured like at some point everybody was going to have a smartphone. I was like, well, why can't we use this as the brains
right.
for these robots? Like,
right.
why are we spending thousands of dollars on these controllers when you could just, like, use your phone?
Wow. You caught a wave, too, because the mm-hmm. advent of the smartphone changed everything. Not only were the technologies available, but because they were being produced in mass quantities, the prices went down, the capabilities increased.
Yep.
And it empowered DJI and a whole bunch of companies to do things nobody'd done before.
Right. And obviously the prices were coming down on the phones, but the prices, maybe even more importantly for us, were coming down on the components that they were
right.
putting in the phones.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
we needed those same sensors
right.
in Sphero.
Right.
Just those MEMS sensors, drastically dropped in price that we could actually use things like that.
It's very smart that you saw that this is about to happen, and you said, hey, you know what? This is a new business.
Yeah.
Was Adam at this old company with you, or?
No, so so the original idea, well, I, you know, looked up like, oh, how do I use a phone to, you know, control these robots? And I looked online and realized very quickly that not only was nobody controlling robots with smartphones, but nobody was controlling anything physical with a smartphone back then. Which is weird to think about now because
everybody does. That's all.
Yeah, I was like at the Crunchies
hub
the other night, and like there's like, you know, connected dog bowls and like, you know, everything is like internet connected. But yeah, so the original idea was just let's control stuff with the phone. I applied to an accelerator called TechStars, and they were like,
"That's
well,
a good accelerator too." Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah,
so they. They were like, that's a cool idea, but, you know, we've never done a hardware company. You're a sole founder. Like, there's no way you're going to be able to pull this off.
Right.
Like, so I started asking around, and through a mutual friend that also worked at this robotics company, introduced me to Adam. And Adam, like, he, like, didn't even have a phone, like, when I met him.
But he was working on robotics, or?
Yeah, he was actually, he had done some stuff through... through a NASA grant in university. He was just finishing up his physics math degrees.
Yeah.
He's always like, so his passion, I mean, he's been in robotics, but really around sort of software and that whole world. So it was a good mesh. Like he had done robotic stuff, but he was really strong on the software side. Right. I was, you know, had done a lot of programming, but my strength is on the hardware side. So it was a good combination. We got together. My dad he ended up loaning us a couple $1,000s.
So that's great. That's so cool.
Yeah. So we could buy an Android phone because you couldn't. It turned out like, I mean, we're so cutting edge that you couldn't even do what we were trying to do, controlling physical things from your smartphone. Like when I met him, it was
right.
Like the day after I met him is when Android pushed an Android update to where you could use the serial port profile on
perfect
on Android.
Nice timing.